Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 247. It's the week of August 24th, 2017. Like, thank you for coming along. Thank you for downloading the show. Grateful that you came back if you're a returning listener. I'm glad to have you back. And if you're a new listener, you might have picked the wrong show to start with because this particular episode is going to be a little bit different than other episodes. In fact, it's going to be a little bit of a commentary on the recent events that took place in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But it does link to running, and I will link that to running throughout different parts of the show. And so let's get started. Things are really interesting in this country. So where are we headed? What is the recent violence between these so-called alt-right white supremacists, the counter-protesters, and the Antifa? What does all that have to do with running? Okay. First of all, who are the alt-right? Okay. the alternative right, this is a term that we've really only been hearing here for the last couple of years, I guess. These are basically the white nationalists, at least that's my understanding of it. The counter-protesters are the ones who are countering against that. And then the anti-fascists are the ones who want to battle the alt-right. So the counter-protesters claim that they want peaceful demonstrations. The alt-right claim they want peaceful demonstrations, but they're the ones that kind of instigate violence. And then the anti-fascists are the ones that counter, they're not counter-protesters, but they counter the alt-right with violence. So it's kind of a crazy situation. But what does all this have to do with running? Well, as many of you know, the Lee statue, Lee Monument, whatever it's called, in Emancipation Park, formerly called Lee Park in Charlottesville, was going to be taken down. It's now been covered up. And the question I have is, and other Confederate monuments have been taken down in New Orleans, and I'm not a defender of the Confederacy whatsoever, and I'm just going to say that one time because I don't feel like I have to do a disclaimer. I'm going to be needing to do a disclaimer throughout my podcast. I'm a citizen of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I live in the Richmond metropolitan area. Richmond is the former capital of the Confederate States of America. A long time ago, okay? There are monuments here that commemorate the people that led the Confederacy because it was half the country against the other half, all right? Well, the question I have is where does this stop? Where does the removal of some of these historical statues, historical monuments, memorials, whatever people want to call them, where does it stop? Where does it start? Where does it stop? And who decides? Okay, that's kind of the question. So let's take it back, Lee. If it doesn't stop with the Confederate War dead that were slaveholders, let's take it back even farther. Let's look at Patrick Henry. And let's talk about a little thing called the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, which is this Saturday, August 26th. Some of y'all won't be listening to the show until after that race is over. It's in its 10th year. I think it's the 10th year. It's a race of about 1,500 runners. It's called the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. It's being held just a few days right here in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Now, while I certainly don't expect any demonstrations, violent or otherwise, at 7 a.m. in the morning on Saturday, or by the time it's over by 10 a.m., what is the future of the name of this race since Patrick Henry was a slaveholder and a founding father of this country? That's the question. Do we, as in we, the people, society, a select number of people, the people that know what's right, and I'll get to that a little bit later in my comments. Do we change the name of this race just because there's a fury of all this going on now? Patrick Henry, if you've never heard of him, shame on you. He is the one who gave the speech at St. John's Church in Richmond some years back. I guess it was 1775. Give me liberty, give me death is the closing of his. He was a radical, a revolutionary, and probably a pain in the ass to negotiate with, I would think. But he was born May 29, 1736, in Studley, Virginia. which is about 15 miles to the east of Ashland, right here in Hanover. He died June 6, 1799, in Red Hill, which is in Charlotte County. He was an attorney. He was a landowner, a statesman. He was the one that became known. He was his main. He's mainly famous because of he was an orator during the independence of the movement for independence in Virginia, which was contagious to the other colonies. He's also a founding father, and he served as the first and the sixth post-colonial governor in Virginia from 1776 to 1779, and again from 1784 to 1786, a whole 100 years, about 100 years before the Civil War started. So, what does all this have to do, all this nonsense going on in the country now, have to do with this race and the running of this race? What's the future of the race, Patrick Henry's legacy, with the recent movement to destroy and remove monuments, statues, names, and references to famous figures in history? I think it's truly become a scary time in our country right now. Maybe not for all of you within the broadcast area of this podcast from where you download it from, but consider, if you would, the location where this podcast is being produced. 12 miles from the city of Richmond, about 60 miles from Charlottesville, 10 to 15 mile radius from three schools named after people who owned slaves. My daughter attends Patrick Henry High School. In the eastern part of the county, there's Lee Davis High School, named after Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis. And then there's Stonewall Jackson Middle School. So these are three schools of the four, I mean, excuse me, of the six high schools and middle schools in the county, or excuse me, of the eight. Let me just start over. We have four high schools and one middle school. The other ones all have regular names. These are named after other of people who had things to do with the history of the Commonwealth of Virginia. They're historical figures. Love them or hate them, they're historical figures. There's no doubt about that, and that's why things are named after people who had a role to play in history, whether it was good or not. But these places were named in a different time by people who lived where we live now. How does changing the names of things make things better? That's what I do not know. How do we all agree what to change the names to? And how does covering up the warts of our history make anything better? How does removing the statues, I got some notes here. How does removing statues that commemorate an interval of our history make us better? Are we even trying to become better? Or are we just angry and trying to erase part of our painful past? And don't get me started about how ESPN reassigned an analyst and commentator called whose name was Robert Lee from a broadcast this weekend of the UVA William & Mary football game. ESPN claims they're trying to avoid any ridicule. The actual opposite has happened. There's already Photoshop pics of Robert Lee on the internet, and some of them are pretty bad. So why did ESPN even tell anybody? Robert Lee wasn't even going to be on TV. He was going to be calling the game on an online streaming service, which would have had a very limited audience. If ESPN had said nothing about making the change, how many people would have even noticed? Now Robert Lee has much unwanted attention. He's not even related to Robert E. Lee. And if he was, so what? How can anyone erase their ancestry? But Robert E. Lee, let's put a little bit in context. Again, second disclaimer, not defending the Confederacy, but it's part of our history. And Robert E. Lee was one of those historical figures that was pretty big. After the end of the war, he was forgiven by Abraham Lincoln and Grant and was not hanged as a traitor. Again, he was forgiven. The country was reunited at Appomattox Courthouse. It's a beautiful place if you've never been there. I've taken my daughter there. That's where the country reunited. All throughout Appomattox and around there, there's American flags and there's the Confederate flag. Because that's where the country reunited, and those were symbols of the division, and now it's reunited, and those symbols are there. I wonder if someone's going to go through and take down all those flags. Robert E. Lee eventually accepted a job as president of Washington College in Western Virginia, and he devoted his efforts toward boosting the institution's enrollment and financial support. This college later became Washington Lee University. Ashland Tom's daughter is going to be going there. I mean, this is a very prestigious university. I have another friend named Chris who graduated from there. It's a prestigious school. Am I a Lee scholar? Hardly. But his statue is what is at the heart of what happened in Charlottesville. There's also one in Richmond, Virginia, that can likely be the area of violence on September 16th when some competing groups with different philosophies come together for rallies there if they get permits. I personally think the statue is a beautiful work of art. It's huge. It sits on a large, beautiful concrete stand. It's in a grand, grassy traffic circle in the heart of Richmond's historic fan district where I used to live. It's beautiful down there. It's just a beautiful area of the city of Richmond that survived a lot of painful stuff throughout the years. Richmond's Monument Avenue is known all over the world. There's tons of people that come here, spend money to see Monument Avenue because there's things to see there. Parts of history are there. Now, part of Richmond's Confederate history as its former capital are those monuments and who lived and those who defended it. Okay, the South lost. Everybody knows that. Now, some years back, when I guess before marriage and family, you know, when maybe people we would meet up with groups for breakfast or whatever on the weekends, sometimes there were discussions about how the Richmond Times-Dispatch, which is the Richmond paper, every week seemed to have a book review on the latest book about the Civil War and how the joke was that the Civil War is still being fought here in the former capital of the Confederacy. Well, apparently it is, because books are still being written on it, new research is still being done, and people are still coming to conclusions about the way things happened in a terrible time in our country's history. So the South lost. Everybody knows that. But all the soldiers who came home from that war were Americans, regardless of what side they were from. And monuments went up to commemorate their war service. Whether it was wrong, right or wrong in their eyes, it doesn't really matter now. They're not around to be punished. They're long dead. And the monuments went up at the time with the majority of support. So what does society do now? That's the question. This is hardly over. Violent alt-right groups like white supremacists aren't going to go away. The First Amendment protects groups like that, right, their right to speak, just like it protects other groups whom I disagree with, such as Black Lives Matter and other police hate groups. And I believe that's a police hate group. I've seen enough of the footage on TV and read enough articles from different perspectives where I firmly believe that that is a police hate group. There's other police hate groups, the Nazis, neo-Nazis. They're not going to go away. These groups want physical fights, not peaceful demonstrations to rally around an idea. They want physical fights. This was so evident in Charlottesville that I saw play out on TV. It was a complete disgrace. Physical confrontations are desired by these groups that gather. I have no doubt about that, in my opinion. Now, the street fights that we saw in Charlottesville were a complete disgrace to the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's not the Virginia I know. I've lived here a long time. And I've met and been friends with lots of different types of people, and those are not the people that I know are true Virginians. These people came from elsewhere. I was sickened by seeing this fighting on TV. And the police did nothing. The civilians who are in charge of the police reportedly held the police back. I don't know if this is true or not. There are lots of different opinions on this that I've read. So where were the police? Walter Williams is a professor of economics at George Mason University, which is up in Northern Virginia. He wrote a very interesting column in recent edition of the Richmond Times-Dispatch about the police, and I'd like to share it. And I respect Walter Williams' opinion on a lot of things, and I don't feel like I should even have to say this, but so you can Google him yourself if you're curious. But he's black. And he's smart enough to realize that your color of your skin does not determine the way you look at life. Just like other commentators. All right, this is not a long article. I do want to share it because it is pretty unbelievable, the police response in Charlottesville. Charlottesville, Virginia, a city named after Britain's first black queen, was the scene of a bloody riot Saturday, August 12th. The fray resulted in the death of one woman who was mowed down by a car. Plus, there were many other people injured. Have politicians and the news media told the correct and complete story about what happened, or have Americans been deliberately misled? Let's look at it. One does not have to accept the racist and nationalist vision of the Unite the Right organization to recognize and respect his First Amendment rights. Moreover, the group obtained a city permit to hold a peaceful rally to protest the lawful removal of the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from Emancipation Park, formerly known as Lee Park. It was the leftist protesters who did not have a city permit to assemble for a rally on that day. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe said, "There has got to be a movement in this country to bring people together. The hatred and rhetoric that has gone on, has intensified over the last couple months, is dividing this great nation." He denounced the white supremacists and the Nazis. However, when asked a question about whether he would include the left-wing, pro-violence, Antifa in his condemnation, he ignored the question and walked out of the room. Here's a question for you. Did the authorities of the city of Charlottesville have a duty to protect Unite the Right rally attendees? The American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia said they had a right to rally, saying the First Amendment is a critical part of our democracy and it protects vile, hateful, and ignorant speech. Thus, the ACLU of Virginia defended the white supremacists and neo-Nazis' right to march and rally against the removal of the Statue of Lee. Both the Unite the Right organizers and the leftist counter-protesters charged that the Charlottesville police did not do their job. They just stood back and watched the melee. This was documented in several reports. The Daily Caller article entitled, "Where Were the Police Held? Why Were the Police Held Back in Charlottesville?" reports, "Law enforcement was on hand at the dueling demonstrations on Saturday, decked out in riot gear and looking prepared for the worst, except they weren't allowed to do their job." According to the ACLU of Virginia, police on the scene were reported to have been ordered to not intervene until given a command to do so. That kept them from suppressing the numerous scuffles that broke out. I'd like to ask any policeman, since when did the police need a command to intervene when they are witnessing people assaulting one another? In a ProPublica article titled "Police Stood By as Mayhem Mounted in Charlottesville," the authors reported that state police and National Guardsmen watched passively for hours as self-proclaimed Nazis engaged in street battles with counter-protesters. Reporter A.C. Thompson, who was on the scene, reported that the authorities turned the streets of the city over to groups of militiamen armed with assault rifles instead of owning up to his dereliction of duty by not having ordered his police force to protect life and limb. Charlottesville Mayor Mike Siner chose to demagogue the situation by blaming the rise of white nationalists on President Donald Trump. Many politicians, racists, hustlers, and tyrants have an agenda that consists mostly of making the U.S. Constitution meaningless and giving greater government control over our lives, thereby destroying personal liberty. The alt-right and white supremacists seek to achieve their goals through racist propaganda. The leftists seek to achieve their goals by tricking Americans into believing that all they want are brotherhood and multiculturalism. If either group achieves its goals, we Americans will lose not only our liberty, but also our civility. Few Americans recognize and respect the fact that multiracial societies are inherently unstable. What we've been doing for decades, though, through various government policies, is stacking up combustible racial kindling, awaiting a racial arsonist to set it ablaze. There are too many historical examples of what happens to a nation when race hustlers are allowed to take over. And that's the end of the article. And that's pretty incredible, pretty scary to think. And I think Walter Williams is a very interesting thinker. I read his columns often when I can. And he's a very educated person, and I think he sees things in a very interesting, from a very interesting perspective. Had the police stepped in the other day, it would have been pretty bad. But I thought it was pretty bad the way it was. It was a disgrace. So what does all this have to do with running? Okay, let's get back to that. The Patrick Henry Half Marathon. Well, Patrick Henry, like I said, was a slave owner. We have a race named after him. Who will decide in the future what names from history are going to be appropriate to use once the movement starts to strip his name of this race or strip his history from the Commonwealth because he was a slaveholder? There's no movement now to change the race's name. I'm certainly not advocating for it, but going forward, who will decide what is acceptable? Well, that's why we have the First Amendment. No other country has it. In Europe, courts have fined and imprisoned people not just for classic hate speech, but also for glorifying terrorism, saying mean things on Facebook, and posting cruel humor on Twitter. Can you imagine being investigated and arrested because you verbally disagree with the government through a Facebook post or through a Twitter tweet? Do we want that here in the U.S. where liberty is paramount? Of course we don't. Speech we don't like has to be tolerated. We have no choice. It has to be tolerated by the society, but you have a personal choice. You can choose to listen or walk away. You can choose to tune in or change the channel. People have become way too hypersensitive. Where did all this come from? So what about the violence? People in Charlottesville who were on the streets, in my opinion, were there to fight. Look at what was carried. Shields, helmets, sticks, metal rods, guns, paint, urine, etc. Completely ridiculous in a civilized society. We don't fight in the streets. We don't have wars here. We have police to keep order. But where were the police to keep order? Surely the police saw the fighting, did they not? I did, and I wasn't even there. Seems like the police stayed back under orders, either from the mayor, secretary of public safety, or the governor himself. All of them are blaming the other person. Whatever. A complete disgrace in the Commonwealth. I love this state, but I was embarrassed. So again, going forward, who decides what is acceptable? You cannot give control of speech to the government. You just can't. We the people as a society have to hold control of it. Consider this. Imagine a civil rights march that is shut down because government officials fear a violent response from racists. How would that go over? It wouldn't. Situations are conditional. Censorship might be acceptable if we can ensure that the right people imposed it, that they would draw the line in the right place, and that good ideas will never be censored. But in the real world, that condition cannot be met. Who is right? Who is the final judge? It's not even the Supreme Court anymore, because people still agree with Supreme Court rulings. The final judge is your own conscience. We're becoming so divided in this country about what is right and what is reasonable. If you listen to the media and place your faith in them, half the country isn't happy with the other half. Half the country are racists and the other half is doing everything right. All sides have problems with their agendas. And the recent violence in the streets of Charlottesville proves it, and also in other cities. People seem to be unable to assemble peacefully anymore when the groups are too far apart with their ideologies. People come to do battle. And in Charlottesville, the government let them do it. Complete disgrace. The politicians have become completely focused on this because the media drives the narrative. Until some other disaster comes along, racism will be the driving narrative. Other things aren't going to be accomplished because ongoing street violence completely envelops local leaders' time. Everyone tries to show that they have a handle on it, but most don't. Many leaders don't have any experience with riots or demonstrations or guiding police actions under them. And they mess up, like the leaders did in Charlottesville. And a young woman lost her life, and two troopers crashed in a helicopter filming it. Just crazy. Absolutely crazy. More recently, police in Phoenix took care of business. Police in Boston took care of business. But every night, there's organized street violence somewhere. It's on TV. It's on the internet. And when is it going to be in your community? That's what I'm afraid of, that it's going to be in my community. So is this the beginning of the next civil war in America? Funny how it's about slaveholders again. Not funny as in humorous, but ironic. Where will this war be fought? I do not think it'll be fought on green battlefields or in the woods, but in the streets. With sticks, metal rods, paint, urine, feces bombs, chemical bombs, you name it. Stuff like that. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. How many of the 320 million people in this country are going to participate in that? A very small fraction. But the media will drive a narrative that the country is coming to an end. Trust me. Don't we have more pressing issues like feeding the country, feeding the hungry people in this country, helping out our veterans, helping the poor? Or maybe that's being too idealistic. Consider this when all appears as lost. Most people in this country of 320 million went to work this week and they weren't violent. Some people listening to this podcast possibly have people at work they don't like because of the way they look, from where they're from, their color, their religion, or for some other reason. None of us are perfect. People are human and have an inherent bias. But most of us get through the day and get past that with no problems at all because we live by the golden rule. Do you remember what the golden rule is? Does anybody ever mention that anymore? Well, I'm going to say it here. Treat people the way that you would like to be treated. It's a great thing to aspire to. You don't always achieve it, but it's a great thing to aspire to. Most of us get past any biases that we have that are deep in our conscience because we're human and we're flawed. We're able to get past those because we want to live by the golden rule. Maybe you fall into this category, maybe you don't. The point that I'm trying to make is that most people get along just fine. White supremacist groups will always be around because we don't arrest people in this country for the way they think. We can choose to listen or we can choose not to. We can choose to show up to fight them physically or not. But one thing for sure is people who show up to confront an alt-right group are not planning to do it peacefully. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Pray for this country. It's needed. Maybe that's part of the problem. We have a generation now who don't say the Pledge of Allegiance or think it's necessary to respect the national anthem or flag or even say the name God. We live in a country where coaches can be arrested for praying with their student athletes after a game. This is crazy. Adults who disrespect the flag are being watched by younger people. The young people see the adults get positive attention by a peer group, and then they model that behavior at the time of their choosing when they think they will get the most attention. The cycle then repeats, and here we are. Absolutely crazy. The flag is the only symbol that unites us as Americans. I can't think of any other symbol that unites us as Americans. The only symbol that we all have in common as an American is the American flag, that symbol. It's the only one. Fortunately, there are those who don't want it to be that type of symbol. They don't want unification. And guess what? They're allowed to do that here in a free society. I don't like it, but it's allowed. I wish those people would leave. The National Football League's movement to disrespect the flag, which is gathering momentum before games are played, will be an expensive mistake on their part, in my opinion. It may take a few seasons, but it will be a mistake. There seems to be a little confusion about what folks' First Amendment right allows them to do. It's not that you have the right to say anything at all without consequences. It's that Congress will make no law abridging the freedom of speech, which means the government cannot make a law to keep you from speaking freely. It doesn't say that you can't suffer the consequences. It's just saying that you can speak for freely. It doesn't mean that the NFL can't make a law to let you speak freely. NFL owners should require their employees to stand up for the national anthem just as they require them to show up for practice. If the employee fails, the employee gets disciplined. Like I said, it might take some time, but people will eventually not support this movement. And like I said earlier, you can tune in or you can change the channel. I would like to close with this, and then I might add some more comments at the end. And this was said by a very smart man who understands humanity almost as much as Jesus did. Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "We must get along as brothers and sisters, or we will all perish as fools." There are too many people in this country now with beliefs that aren't consistent with what the founders envisioned. There are too many representatives and senators with conflicting beliefs to get anything accomplished through legislation. There is no compromise anymore. Do we really want laws passed at the federal level? Well, half or 51% passes the law only to have it undone by 51% 8 years later and then have the cycle repeat itself. That is not a society that I would want to live in, where the laws keep changing. There's just no compromise anymore, it seems. I'm not sure how bright our future is. I think there's going to be more violence. I pray that is not the case. Do I care if the Patrick Henry Half Marathon organizers cave at some point in the future and rename the race? Not really. I can choose to support it or not. I'm still free to do that. At least for now. I sure would hate to see this great nation perish as fools. Thanks for listening.